I know there are a lot of people traveling, and there are those that were made it to the fair, but they were probably not feeling good enough to come to church. I said that out loud. I know a lot of people were at the fair this week, and we're glad you're here. And that's okay. It's okay to have a break. We all need a break. Amen. I want to share a thought to you. I had a dream last night. I woke up this morning. I was very disturbed. And I grabbed my iPad and I began to type. I tried to type quietly so I didn't wake my wife up. Unfortunately, after about 10 minutes of typing, she just said, "What are you typing?" And I said, "I had a dream that all men are created equal." No, that wasn't it. I want to read a text to you in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 16. Come on out for some softball fellowship tomorrow night while you're turning. We're going to be, before we do the new edition, we're going to be modifying some things to try and have some better functionality. And one of those things is we're buying more tables. The stand-up tables are going to be set up over here in that room. We'll have a couple over there in the coffee corner, but there will be no more tables on this side of the foyer. And we're going to try and create an area for you to fellowship. And then on the second Sunday of every month, they're going to have some refreshments set up after service every that second Sunday. Give you an opportunity to hang around, talk to some people. You know what that means? Hang around and talk to some people. You know what else that means, Brother Fred? Don't leave right after service. Hang around and talk to people. I should have made Brother Fred give that announcement. I love you, Brother Fred. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, if he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I want to preach to you tonight, and it's going to be able to tackle your home and your relationship with the Lord. On this thought, a marriage of ifs. Lord, I pray that you help us, God, to give you honor through your word. Lord, help our hearts and our ears to be in tune. Let your perfect will be done in this place. God, every moment that your word is delivered is an opportunity to strengthen us and to enrich us in our relationship with you. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said amen. You can be seated. So let me share my dream with you. It was very, very vivid. I won't tell you who the people were. I don't think it was about them. But there was a family who had just decided they were going to pack up and leave. There was a better opportunity that came along in actually Kentucky. And I remember as this family was preparing and they were pretty giddy about it and I was distraught and one of their children was just extremely distraught. And I hope there was a way of talking them out of it, but there it just nothing seemed to click. And I just remember my wife and I were just very grieved and to the point where we both said, "I'm not going to let myself get close to anybody ever again." And so it was a very dear family. And again, I don't believe the dream had anything to do with that family in particular. I do believe the Lord wanted me to share a message with you. But because that family meant so much, it hurt that much more. In marriage, and we're going to start with marriage. There's conditional commitment, and there's covenant commitment. Conditional commitment says, "I'll stay if things go well. I'll love you if you meet my needs. I'll be faithful if you're faithful. I'll keep trying if you keep trying. The biblical marriage says, I made a covenant, not an arrangement based on conditions. Period. One of our greatest challenges as human beings is in our mind, if there's an out, I'm going to find it. And that does not end with the physical relationship. It also carries over into the spiritual relationship. And so a marriage of ifs is, I'll love you if you make me happy. I'll stay if you don't disappoint me. I'll forgive you if you deserve it. I'll sacrifice if you sacrifice first. I'll keep my vows if you keep yours. But covenant relationship says, through sickness, through financial trouble, through disappointment, through change, through mistakes, through seasons when feelings aren't strong. You mean there's in your relationship you go through times where your feelings aren't strong? Absolutely. Sister Lori, I see you really nodding your head back there. Through storms. The reason I don't like doing weddings anymore is because, speaking of, where's my future daughter-in-law? She's sick. The reason I don't like doing weddings is because we say these words and we tell the bride and the groom to repeat them. But what I've found over the years, they mean almost nothing to people. They're more focused on the wedding and the after events than they actually are on the things they're saying. So I try really hard now to slow down. I will promise either you're a liar or you're not. To love you through thick and thin, through sickness and health, through poverty and wealth, until death do we part. That is what covenant relationship is. How can you give those vows at the wedding altar not knowing what's lying ahead of you? Because a marriage is not based upon circumstance. A marriage is based on covenant. That's why God honors covenant more than anything else in the world. That's why marriage matters to God. Covenant is not conditional. Covenant is not if. Covenant is I will. Marriages do not fail. I will tell you tonight, a marriage has never failed in the history of our world. We simply quit. It's as simple as that. Listen, I was in a courtroom today. Gentleman walks up, and he was there because of drug charges, and he'd been arrested. And the judge says, well, what happened? He said, my baby's mother died, and you know, I relapsed. And I'm watching and I'm listening, and all of a sudden I saw this judge take a turn. And he said, shame on you for blaming your deceased baby's mother on your habit. He said, I have done this for a long time. He said, and addicts always have an excuse and a reason. Always point the finger at somebody else. He said, and you are saying because she died, and I know what a lot of you are saying, but I'm sitting there listening to this judge. I thought, you know, he's got a good point. He was white-headed, and I knew he had been on the bench for a long time. I love the way he was talking to people, and I enjoyed listening to him partly because I wasn't there in an orange jumpsuit. And he said, you know, I was feeling pretty good until you said that. Now I'm starting to get really upset. He said, it is a decision. Period. He said, you honor your deceased baby's mother by saying, I will become an addict again. Marriage, and I'm not preaching about marriage, but I am, but I'm kind of not, but I am, is a decision. My wife and I had a conversation years ago, and we come to the conclusion, maybe she did before I did. Now, some of you, I know you're going to fall off the wagon. Oh, my God, heresy, I'm quitting the church. I don't know that I find any scripture where God puts two people together. We love to say that makes us feel good. God put her in my life. No, we choose our spouse. We choose our spouse. Period. And when we do, we are making a decision to be with that person through everything. It's not a conditional. No wedding vows have ever consisted of I will if or unless. It was I will. Now, I'm not here to pick on anybody that may have been divorced. It's not even really the context of my marriage, of my message. But it's very important to, and you say, what's this got to do with your dream? Because in my dream, the people that left, they made a decision. And decisions have consequences. The Bible, it covers every basis you can imagine. All the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. And it also says just. Solomon said it both ways. Just and right. And not just one text. Why? Because we can justify anything. But if you build your relationship with your spouse and with the Lord on covenant, not circumstance, it will be a very long and lasting relationship with good times and bad, with mountaintops and valleys, and with heartache and times of joy. That is what a relationship is. But our world wants a fantasy anymore. We got these pictures in our head of what that relationship is, and you need to hang on with me because I'm telling you exactly what will affect your relationship with the Lord as well. And so, marriages don't fail, we quit. Period. Blame on anybody you want to. You decide to quit. Nobody drug anybody ever into divorce court. Now, you may have went and you felt like you had no other option. Maybe there are those here that did try and they couldn't. I understand that. I understand that happens. I understand it takes two. I really do. But if you're two people under the sound of my voice and you both claim to have a walk with God, it should be end of story. The divorce word should never be spoken in a household. I did a marriage years ago. I about wanted to puke. I made him sign a contract that if, because I'm smart and I'm wise and I knew where it was headed, if we ever decide to start talking divorce, my wife and I have never talked divorce, not one time, 28 years. Never, that word's never left our mouths. Now, someone tried to get her to divorce me at the very beginning of our marriage. I buried them all in the desert and life was good. Just kidding. What was I saying? Contract. Brother Klein, it wasn't 3 weeks. She came and said, I can't do this. We're going to get divorced. 3 weeks. I said, no, you are not. I said, my God, have mercy. Get your act together and act like an adult and go fix whatever it is you already got messed up. Conditions. Conditional. Marriages are not conditional. They're not conditional. So we make it a marriage of ifs. If she does what I want or he does what I want. If he, she acts the way I want. If he, she looks the way I want. If nobody better comes along. We make it a conditional relationship, and that is where problems happen. Now, I have a question for you. If we are this way, now I know Most people will say no, and I'm telling you, you're wrong. I'm the preacher, you're not. You're wrong. Won't we do the same thing to God? It's easier with God. You don't have to go to divorce court. You can pretend you still have a relationship when you don't. That same guy, he says, if I let you out, where are you going to go? Well, I go to my, no, this is a different guy. I go to my ex-wife's house, I think. Where she live? I don't know. She doesn't even know I'm coming, but I ain't got nowhere else to go. She can probably take me in. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy just to treat that person who you made those vows to. Whenever you need them, I'm there. If I don't, I don't. If I need you, God, I'll pray. I'll call out to you. If I don't, I'm going to go about my life and just enjoy life, because that's what it's all about, right? Just enjoy life. Live free, die young. If we, listen to me, your physical relationship always is a reflection of your spiritual relationship. If people will get that in their head, when you're having trouble, you will look at your walk with God and you'll say, am I responding the same way when I have trouble in my walk with God? Because we do have trouble in our walk with God. We do. It's a relationship. It's not just some words you burp out at some point in your life and nothing else. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. I will, no matter what, not I will if. So if, I will if there are no dark days. I will if you answer my prayers in a timely manner. I will if nothing better comes along. These Hebrew boys, I know it's just a story to us, but it's a reality. They said, God can deliver us. But if he doesn't, I'm not changing my mind. I still belong to the Lord. He still purchased me with his blood. I don't pull the strings. He knows better than I do. And so God can, but if he doesn't. But we live in a world now that just is chasing miracles. And they're never told that he may not do that miracle. He may not do what you want, because he might want to see exactly how committed you are in that relationship. Are you going to serve me if I do something, or will you still serve me if I do nothing? It's a relation. It's not a relationship of ifs. Jesus didn't say, I will die for your sins if you make a promise to serve me every day of your life. No, actually, there were no conditions. He said, I'll die. Let those who will come. Simple. Easy as that. No conditions. But we have in some cases unknowingly built conditional relationships with the Lord. Listen, you don't have to know everything about God, about the Bible. You don't have to be a perfect person. You don't have to have your act together. I was doing a Bible study tonight, and I said, listen, Jesus said, except a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, right? He didn't say, except a man has it all together, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except a man fix all his problems first, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Except a man do this or that, or maybe tithes first, or except a man is faithful in church for 6 months, then he can enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, all he said was, you just got to be born again. Whatever comes, comes. Isn't that interesting? Byron, isn't that interesting? Isn't that just like a relationship? I'm not really sure how this thing's going to play out. I'm not going to ask you for any conditions. All I'm going to ask you to do is you got to be born again, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that's, I'll take you out. I'll take all your baggage. I'll take all your problems. I take all your past. Bring it all in. We'll work on it as time goes on. We'll build this relationship together. We'll grow together. I don't know if anybody feels what I feel, but that excites me. It genuinely excites me. And so the Lord didn't put conditions on our relationship. We should never put conditions on our relationship with him or with our spouse. That is what covenant is. Those Hebrew brothers were the greatest example of covenant. They were ready to die. And I would venture to say, this is just my opinion, they probably thought they were going to. Now, just for context, just for a moment, can you imagine being those three boys? I mean, if I was them and I got into the furnace and I'm like, all right, Shad, Mish, that's it, we're done. I've enjoyed being your brother. And they get in, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up. There's a part of you that's excited. And there's a part of you that says, why didn't you show up before I got in here? I mean, I realize this looks better. And I realize it brings a lot of spectators. But I was pretty nervous here. I was pretty messed up. And I'm thinking, okay, if God does, oh God, I hope he doesn't. I hope he does. Because God never promised a relationship where he'll intervene before or in the middle or after. Why? Well, the Lord knows best. And the Lord is not concerned about whether you get to grow up and have a lot of money and make a great paycheck and get married. He's concerned if you go to heaven. That's it. That's why he gave his life. Not so we could have a bank account, but so we could have relationship with Jesus. And so, let me give you just a couple of scriptures. You don't have them. I wouldn't try to put them up there. You're not going to keep up. Job 13 and 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job had endured more than probably any of us have in a lifetime. And he said, though he slay me, I will still trust him. And guess what? He did. In the end, it got a little rocky, as any relationship does. He wavered a little bit there towards the end. Once you get into chapter 39, he's ready to throw in the towel. And then the Lord, what? Then the Lord scolded him. What are you doing? I thought we had a good relationship. You said, even if I were to kill you, you'd trust me. Now here you are whining like a little baby. Oh my God, where's God? Oh, 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 oh. He says, gird up your loins like a man. You know what he was saying? Don't forget about the promise you made, the covenant in this relationship. Don't you start to waver now just because you can't see the outcome. I feel the Holy Ghost. And then, as God does in God fashion, the very end. At the very end, that's why we have faith, you know. We're like, all right, God, you're going to come in right at the end here. I know, all right, ain't time now, God. All right, we're getting to the end. And sometimes he doesn't show up. Well, we're not immortal. Sometimes he's not going to show up. I'm going to tell you something funny. This is really, doesn't even really matter to my message, but I'm going to tell you anyway because I've been wanting to tell you. I've had an abscess over here in my gum for about a year and a half. Doesn't hurt, no problem, just big old bubble. You're like, oh, gross. Well, one day, about a month ago, I was like, you know what? I haven't prayed over this thing. God's honest truth. I'm not lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. And I put my hand there. I touched it. And I said, Lord, I haven't prayed. Now I want you to make this thing go away in Jesus' name. And I prayed a little longer than that. Gone since then, hasn't come back. One time. Now that don't mean much to you. But an abscess can really put somebody in the hospital. Now, what's that got to do? Nothing. Other than sometimes God shows up and sometimes he doesn't. But listen, the Lord is interested in our covenant. And that's why he doesn't just bail us out of every situation. There are times I wish my wife would have been nicer to me. There are times I wish she would have fluffed my feathers. She never says a word about my messages. Pastor Klein, did your wife say anything about yours? And I'm convinced that God uses our wives just to keep us humble. I remember Paul Mooney years ago, he's talking about it, and he said he's driving home one day, and he's like, well, honey, the choir did a great job, didn't they? Yeah. Man, the Lord really moved in that house, didn't he? Yeah. And he went on, he goes, I tried for a half an hour. I couldn't get one thing out of her for my message. But you know what? I'm not going to say, you know what? This woman came and complimented me when I preach. I'm done with this relationship. Because sometimes, she does it once in a while. She did give me the greatest compliment I preached one day out in Mansfield. She walked up. I walked up to her after, and she said, that was the most masterful message I've ever heard you preach in my life. And I'm thinking in my head, thank you, honey. And I felt good. If I get her approval, I feel really good. But I'm thinking, should I feel good? Because she's never said that before. It took me 20 years to get that compliment at that time. Though he slay me, your relationship with Jesus needs to be built on those words. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Habakkuk 3 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. If you don't see anything happening, still rejoice in it. Still give God praise. Don't allow circumstance and the pains and the trials of life to determine your level of worship and adoration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. John 6:66 says, many disciples went back. Kind of interesting, John 6:66, many disciples went back. And walked no more with him. Jesus asks the 12, will you also go away? Peter answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And although there were a whole bunch of them that backslid, he looked at the other 12 and said, you want to go too? And Peter said, oh, where are we going to go? I've got no option. I made a covenant. I said, I'm in this thing through the end. I realize I've made some mistakes and I've done some bad things, but I'm in it. I'm not going anywhere. That would be stupid. That would be foolish. There is no other place to go. There is nowhere else to go. This is it. It's everything. It's my life. It's my heartbeat. It's the breath that I breathe. That's my relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans 8:35. And I'm bouncing around here. I just pulled some parts out. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Think about those things. Tribulation. Life been rough lately? It's not going to separate me from God's love. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to stop loving me because of it. That means I'm not going to stop letting him love me because of it. And if I still allow him to love me, I still have relationship. I don't give up and feel defeated and say, why bother praying anymore? God hasn't heard my prayers yet. God hears everything you say. Every word you speak, God hears. But you are supposed to be in a covenant relationship. It's not supposed to be a relationship based off of what he does for me. Paul declares that neither life or death or anything else will separate him from the love of God. Tribulation does not cancel the relationship. Psalm 73 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. Luke 9:23 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus was not secretive about our relationship with him. I realize that many of us got into church and we didn't know all the Bible. We didn't know about denying yourself and taking up your cross. But you do now. And you've heard it preached from the pulpit before. This relationship was never full of promises of grandeur and wealth and money and fame and all that stuff. No, he said, listen, if you're going to follow me, you're probably going to wind up suffering a little bit. He says, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why is it that we get so funny when people start to persecute you and slander you online like it's some indicator of who you really are? And so, No. He told us you're going to go through that stuff. But it's a relationship of covenant. I don't bail out just because things aren't great. I don't bail out just because there's a better opportunity somewhere else. I don't know who the Lord was speaking to in this dream. But God was speaking to somebody. God wanted me to bring this to somebody and tell you, in your natural relationship and or in your physical relationship, it cannot be a relationship or a marriage of ifs. You know, I know you know this, but it just doesn't resonate sometimes. The more you speak junk, the more it becomes reality. The more you speak ill of your spouse, the more you talk about this marriage ain't going to make it, the more likelihood that it won't. The more you tell God, I don't know if I can do this another day, the more your head gets consumed with the thought that maybe I should just quit. We've all been there. We all have. That's why you got to be careful what you speak. Speak life. 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 Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I know they're there. Kevin and Gloria, you guys have been married again. How long have you been married now? 34. Whew. I'm older than you, and you got like 6 years on me. Been easy? Probably been a breeze. See, it's so easy they can't even talk. Pastor Sister Klein, how long? 28. You're right there with us. Anybody else over 28? Gwen, how long? 49. 36. Who else? 38. Now, I've heard some rumors that there might have been some hiccups in your marriage in the beginning. I believe you came and testified about some of those hiccups. And here you are. You got her straightened out. Sister Pat, how about you? 53. I know we got a couple widows and widowers back there who were very faithful in your marriages for all your lives. Marriage isn't easy. You hear it, but just doesn't resonate. I don't know. Any of you that have been that talked about how long you've been married, was it a rule in your house? We don't ever talk about divorce. Raise your hand if that was a rule. We don't talk divorce. Never talked it? Anybody else? Oh boy. Professor Klein's like, honey, don't say a word. Just keep look down. I don't know. And the longer I've served the Lord, we've been through a lot of, I mean, as many of you have, but man, you just don't know some ups and downs, boy. I mean, just some rough times and times you wonder where God was and times you didn't understand why God wasn't doing this or answering that, or will you ever do this? Or will you ever get through that? And just all these questions, but you know, like in my natural marriage, there's times I thought maybe, I don't know. But I never spoke it. Don't speak it. Don't let the enemy put those words in your mouth to breathe life into them. In your relationship with your spouse and in your relationship with the Lord. So we have a covenant relationship with the Lord. I will, and God will. But if he doesn't, if he heals me, I'll serve him. If he doesn't, I'll serve him. If God opens the door, I will serve him. If God closes the door, I will serve him. If he answers my prayer in the way I want him to, I'll serve him. If he does not, I will still serve him. If I understand what he's doing, what's going on in my life, I'll serve him. But if I don't understand anything, I will still serve him. When I'm feeling great about it, I'm going to serve him. But when I'm feeling terrible, I'm going to serve him. If I got to drag myself there, drag myself to the altar, I'm going to do it. You know why? Because it's a covenant relationship. It's a covenant relationship. It's not a relationship of conditions. There's nothing wrong with that. The world says, oh, you're supposed to be happy. Can we be real for a second? You're happy when you bought such and such, and a while after that, you were no longer happy about it, so you wanted to buy something else. And you were happy until that wore out, and then you wanted to buy something else. That's relevant to the moment. Happiness is not in possessions. It's not possible. Because possessions always get old, and you always chase something else for this perceived happiness that you never catch. And so the question you have to ask yourself today is this. Have I reached a place in my relationship with God where there are no conditions attached to my commitment to him? If you answer honestly no, that's fine. But take this, rededicate yourself at your bedside, at the altar, wherever you see fit, and make a pledge. God, I made a covenant, and I'm going to keep it. When I got married, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that I ever remember even thinking about covenant. I mean, I just really wanted her. And I wanted to be with somebody. I want someone to be with me. But I was a train wreck. How many train wrecks here when you came to the Lord? We're train wrecks when we enter into this relationship. We don't always understand the depth of it, but I can tell you this. The greatest decision I ever made in this life was marrying her. The greatest decision I ever made in my life was marrying him. When I became his bride. That does sound weird, especially in today's age, but it's biblical. It's good when things are great. You know, I mean, when everything's going wonderful, and that's great, but man, when they're rough. But I have found during the darkest days of my life, it's great to have a wife who cares and who will pray for me. And who will give me her own counsel and who will be there. And I know if everything else feels shaken, I know I can come home. And that has not been shaken. And it's also good to know that I serve a God that I came to out of desperation, not wanting to be lost, didn't want to go to hell, didn't know anything about relationship with Jesus. I used to think that the talk of having a relationship with Jesus was silly talk. I really did. But as I got older and as I was able to foster this relationship with the Lord and understand it on a different level, it just meant so much more to me. And the same thing with my natural relationship. Listen, do not have a marriage of ifs. Don't have a physical marriage of ifs and don't have a spiritual marriage of ifs. Make your determination, I'm in it, exclamation point. I'm in it, exclamation. You say, well, what if the other person, and we're not just talking about natural, but listen, you got to tackle that one day at a time. Just one day at a time. You can't tackle the what ifs, because the what ifs aren't always reality. Just one day at a time. Would you stand? I think we ought to. I think we all ought to just make a personal, renewed commitment to the Lord tonight. And I think we ought to say, Lord, if I have allowed conditions to become a part of my relationship, I repent. In the natural and in the spiritual. These things aren't ever easy to preach because there's always people around you that are divorced. My own mother was divorced. Again, divorce doesn't always mean you failed in your marriage. It could have meant the other person quit. It could have meant you both quit. Be honest and say, I'm going to learn from this. And I'm going to have a better relationship next time. I mean, if you want to come, you can, but I just think we ought to lift our hands right where we're at. And I think we ought to talk to the Lord for a couple minutes. You want to stand? You want to kneel? What a great relationship this is with Him. What a great relationship. I thank God that He put no conditions on me. I certainly don't want to put conditions on somebody else. It would be akin to the parable of the man that owed his Lord money and he forgave his debt and kept him out of prison, but then he went and demanded money from somebody else. If the Lord didn't put any conditions on you, don't put conditions on somebody else. He loves you just the way you are. He accepts us just the way we are, and He wants the relationship to grow and to prosper and to be blessed and to be enriched. And He wants us one day to look back and say, God, You never failed me, not even one time. Even when I didn't think You were there, You did not fail me. When You didn't answer my prayers, You did not fail me. When I walked through that dark season, You weren't failing me. You were preparing me. You were grooming me. And for that, I give You all the praise in the world. Come on, if you're feeling good about your relationship today, give Him praise while you can, because some days it's going to be hard to lift your hands. Some days it's going to be hard to sing praises unto the Lord. So wherever you are today, give Him praise, because I made a covenant with Jesus when I entered into this relationship, and there were no commitments on it. And today, God, I renew that covenant. I renew that covenant. Hey, listen to me. Somebody hear me. I make a pledge to the Lord today, right now. I'm going to serve You through everything. I'm going to serve You through everything. I might not know how to serve You. I didn't know how to be married. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a father. But God will help me. He'll help you. He'll help you every step of the way. He'll help you every step of the way. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And I trust in God, my Savior. Blessed assurance, and Jesus is mine. Yes, He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time, and born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. Then what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough.
and I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail, and I trust in God, my Savior.
While they sing softly, I asked Pastor Klein to come up and pray over, just pray over relationships. Brother and Sister Edwards, I forgot about you guys. How long have you been married? 29. Thank you. Been good, smooth, no problems.
Amen, amen, amen. Good word this evening that we've received. Listen, you'll never go wrong investing in your relationship with your spouse. And even more so, you'll never go wrong investing in your relationship with God. The Bible describes in one place that our families are the gift.